It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome back, everybody, to the SIG Podcast, Recruits Draftcast. A bit of a slower week here in junior hockey, but we still have three prospects we'd like to highlight. Obviously, we're going to get to Rocco's Riser of the Week. Now, this week, we're going to be doing things a little differently. Instead of a prospect of the week, we'd like to highlight a sleeper pick. And as always, for you Habs fans watching, we have our Habs prospect of the week. So let's get to it.
Turn up your volume. Because you're about to listen to the Sick Podcast. Sick Podcast. Recruits Draft Cast.
And with the first overall selection in the 2023 NHL Draft, the Chicago Blackhawks are very proud to select, from the Regina Pats, the Western Hockey League, Connor Bedard.
The sickest NHL draft and scouting podcast. It's gonna be sick.
Producer Shane here, clocking in as always for another great episode. Joined by my fantastic co-hosts, Grant McCagg, Rocco Zappia. Fellas, how we doing?
Good.
Excellent, excellent.
Awesome, awesome.
Let's
love
get,
it. All right.
Let's get her going.
Let's get her going, indeed. I'm loving this energy. Let's start with our usual first segment, Rocco's Riser of the Week. This week belongs to Matvei Gridin.
So he's not just straight up and down, moves east to west quite well as well, and gets quickness going straight away in those first couple strides. Pretty dangerous puck carrier and seems quite hard to stop when he gets going with some speed through the neutral zone. He does a good job backing the defenders, making them give up the zone to him. And if that doesn't happen, he does a good job dishing it to a teammate who's waiting there to gain the zone. So that's a nice skill to have when you can help break the puck in. That's a big part of the game these days. He looked, to me, equally dangerous as both a playmaker and a shooter. Displayed some vision and creativity on a couple occasions here to find his teammates, a couple passes that surprised defenders. So you like to see that he can see things that not everyone on the ice is picking up. That's going to give him an edge. But the D also, at the same time, they need to respect his shooting ability. He has quite a quick release. He can bury the puck when he gets a hold of it. And he will shoot from anywhere if he thinks there's an opportunity there. You'll see he scores in this game. You'll see it's a bit of a cheeky goal. When the puck's up for grabs, he plays with a really good motor and he has a really good pace. If he thinks he can get to it, he gets really hard after the loose pucks. And he is actually strong enough. At 6'1", 185, he's not soft along the boards. He does have some strength there to come out and win some board battles. Now, he doesn't play with a ton of physicality in terms of throwing body checks. I think his hit totals on the year are less than 0.2 per game. So he's not out there laying guys out, but he's not shying away from contact. So he's not soft. He just doesn't have a physical body checking element really to his game, but he is willing to engage. He's willing to take a hit to make a play. He's willing to fight in the dirty areas and battle. So that's really what you're looking for. He showed some flashes of good defensive play. I'd like it a little more consistently, but there were some flashes there. He's willing to block some shots. There's a couple times he played pretty aggressive on the puck carrier in the defensive zone, but he timed those well. He picked good spots when to go aggressive at them. He was able to force a couple turnovers here. So when he commits to the defensive side of the puck, there is some effectiveness there defensively, but he can be guilty at times of looking a little bit early for an offensive opportunity where he can get a quick break. There's a couple instances where he jumped out of his defensive zone a couple times a little early when his team was still trying to gain possession of the puck. And that opened up a chance for his man at the point to kind of get a look. So you like him to time that a little bit better and just be a little bit more consistent with the defensive effort. But, I mean, he's an offensive skilled winger. This is how the vast majority of them play as teenagers. And I don't think it's the end of the world for him, because he shows some ability to be effective defensively when he chooses to. So it's just a matter of getting that to be a little bit more consistent shift to shift, and I think he'll be okay. For me, upside wise, I like him with some upside as a top six winger who can be a dual threat as both a shooter and a playmaker. I don't know that he has maybe the tools or the game to adapt to a bottom six role, certainly maybe not a fourth line role. Could see him being more maybe as a middle six, maybe the offensive guy on your third line sort of thing who can play on the second power play. But, you know, for all intents and purposes, this is a skilled winger who projects in a scoring line role wherever he ends up. So that's kind of his game and where he might shake out. Now, there's a pretty decent cohort of wingers that have similar tools and abilities, and I think he fits. There's the goal there. You saw a pretty cheeky play, shot it from the behind the goal line, banked it off the goalie and in. But there's a good cohort here of wingers that have some top six upside that we have ranked really somewhere between 25 and 50 as it stands now. For me personally, as of right now, he's just outside the first round. I have him in the 30s as is now, but there's a lot of fluidity in that part of the draft, I feel. And a lot of these guys, you know, especially with skilled wingers, you need to see how they're shaking out in the playoffs, how they perform when the game gets harder, that sort of thing. And that'll answer a lot of these questions that can be fairly typical of high-octane offensive wingers when they're 17 years old. So, you know, there's guys like Richie and Basha and Parasak and Pridham, who he featured. And he's right in that kind of group for me, skill-wise. A player who I would say, you know, has first round ability and first round talent, and now whether he ends up drafted in the first round or not remains to be seen. He's just outside for me, but again, there's a lot of fluidity in that 25 to 40, 50 range, and that's what we're trying to sort out the second half. And he belongs in that kind of grouping, and we'll see how they shake out. But I like him. I like him in that range. He's a good player that just was new to me. This month, I didn't really take a look at him in the first half. Didn't spend a lot of time focusing on the U.S. leagues, but now I am, and he's someone that jumped out fairly quickly when I started watching these guys.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah. Well, he's second. I think he's second in scoring in the USHL.
Yeah. Yeah.
And is this his rookie USHL season? I believe so.
This is his second year. He didn't play a full season last year. And I was looking at his numbers last year. Early in the year, the first half, hardly played, hardly put up points. Got hot in the second half. They changed coaches who stopped benching him for mistakes, basically, and started letting him work it out. And he took off when he was given a little bit of rope to play with. So,
yeah, well, he's a nice looking prospect. I know a scout that went to see him last weekend, and he said, you know, he's on the cusp of the first round. So I think he's got him. There's at least a dozen guys that you know that are in the 25 to 40 slot that you kind of put guys typically that aren't, you know, surefire first rounders. And like a lot of guys, I think the playoff will be important for him, right? If he can keep producing and play competitively in the playoffs, he may well end up being a first round guy.
Yep. No, he has, for me, he has first round talent, and there's a couple question marks, which is, like you said, very similar to those guys in that 25 to 40 range that are, you know, not maybe true bona fide slam dunk first, but maybe really, really strong seconds. And, you know, that's to me, that's really a one tier of player more or less that he fits in, and just a matter of sorting out where in that range. But, you know, you see guys that have him ranked anywhere late first to the mid second sort of thing. And I would agree with that. I think Bob has him just inside the first. I've seen, we have him just outside for now. And, you know, so that, for me, he fits right in there, and it's just a matter of seeing how the playoffs is the big thing for these skill wingers, especially. So we'll see, but he belongs.
Fantastic. All right. Matvey Gridin is Rocco's riser of the week. Now, I mentioned earlier in the show that we're doing things a bit different. This week, we won't have a prospect of the week, but we have to highlight a sleeper. And if his first name is any indication of his talent level, he should be pretty good. That being Makar Kanin. Let's have a look.
Yeah, I've seen the next Makar. It's pretty exciting. This kid, he's a left winger for Dynamo St. Petersburg in the VHL. First thing you're going to notice about him is his shot. He's he's got an excellent, excellent one-timer. And the scouts always say that you want to see an elite asset with a prospect, and his shot is elite, and he's going to score a lot of goals at the pro level, wherever that may be. But the thing that stands out immediately is just his all around offensive game. He's a great passer, a great shot. His one timer is quick, hard, and accurate. You see it. I started off with just showing some of his more notable goals before we'll go to a game, a recap of a game with him. But he's also a very skilled passer, and we see that with two assists that he got in his last game, which demonstrated his ability to process a play quickly and feed teammates with quick back passes that open up space for the pass recipient. He draws defenders to himself, and the man makes highly skilled feeds to teammates that you aren't expecting. Look at these one-timers. They're just, check out this shot here.
Boom.
There's not a goalie on the planet that's stopping that one, I don't think, if he's not over there already. He's especially adept at behind the back passes, the bank off the boards, and he's got an innate ability to put the perfect touch and angle on it so that it lands right on the tape. He also makes safe passes with the puck drawn close to his body, as you just saw there, so that they can't be intercepted. And that keeps the play going in the offensive zone. He's a force on the power play at the VHL level already, and he will likely be the team. Be the same on the KHL as soon as next season, I would think. Like, that shot is just lethal. Mm-hmm. He's a bit of a wide track skater with a short stride. He's not likely going to pull away from people going end to end, but he's very quick. He can get away from defenders with his first three steps, and his edges and lateral agility are solid. Scouts are always on the search for the 6'2 player with breakaway speed, and because he's a shade under 6 feet, and not dynamic in that department, he won't likely be on anyone's radar in the top 80 of this draft class, considering that he is a 2005-born Russian. Now, he was in last year's draft, and in 47 games in the MHL, he only scored 9 goals last year. But he started this season with 7 goals in 7 games in junior. He must have had a great offseason because he just exploded out of the gates. And then he got called up to the VHL club. In his last 15 games in the VHL, he has 15 points while being on the ice for just 5 goals against. Now, when your ratio is 3 points per goal against and your Corsi rating is above 64%, you're a difference maker. You're obviously playing well. To be doing that in Russia's second pro league as an 18-year-old is quite remarkable. Compare that to Alexander Rykov, who was a fourth-round pick last year, a six-foot winger, same size. He got drafted in the fourth round by Carolina. Basically scored at a point a game in the VHL this year. But his last 15 games, I checked it out, in the VHL, he had 14 points, 51% Corsi, and was on the ice for 13 goals against. So he was on the ice for 30% of his team's goals against compared to Kanin's 16%, which tells you, I mean, I only scouted one game closely, so I'm not an expert on his defense, but obviously those numbers tell you that he's not a liability out there. From what I saw, he certainly pays attention to details in the defensive zone. He's constantly checking on the point man when he doesn't have the puck and does a decent job of cutting off his opponent's shooting and passing lanes. He's not a physical player who constantly initiates contact, but he's not afraid to go into dirty areas and pay the price to make a play or to try to score. I think that he's a real sleeper because he obviously didn't get drafted last year. He's playing in Russia, so North American scouts aren't getting to see him. But I mean, you'd have a hard time convincing me that he doesn't have top 50 offensive skills in this draft class. It's there. And he's, he made the next step this year. So I take a flyer on him anywhere from the fourth round on, I think. The offensive skills are there to play and produce on an NHL power play someday. If the rest of his game can become adequate enough to carve out a regular role at even strength. He'd look good on Montreal's second power play unit right now. I'd put him out there ahead of Gallagher or Tanner Pearson if he was available. So why not draft a kid like that and see if he develops into a power play specialist with, you could say a canninating drive, as Annie Gallivan used to say.
There we go. Yeah, you can't teach a shot like that. That's I think you described it pretty well there, Grant. Lethal is probably the word to use. Rocco, what'd you think about Mr. Makar?
Well, honestly, looking at these clips, that was the first time I had seen him. I haven't watched him at all whatsoever this year, so that was my first look at him. And I would agree with Grant. It's tough not to get excited about the offensive skill there. Mm-hmm. Now, again, just from the highlights, you got to evaluate what his whole game is actually like. But the raw tools in terms, of the east-west movement and the shot and the playmaking, they're all there. So, later in the draft, why not? Why not take a flyer? Because if he doesn't make it, he's not supposed to make it anyway. So who cares? If you're using a late round pick on him. Now, if you want to go a little bit higher, you better be damn sure what he's going to be, sort of thing. But I would have no problem with a team taking a flyer, 4, 5, 6 round sort of thing. Anywhere in that range, if you can get a guy that can shoot like that and has that kind of vision, I mean, that's at least something to work with. And, he's a project, but that's what kind of guys get picked in the mid to late round sort of thing. And, yep. Hey, If you're gonna have one thing to start with and build around, a shot like that's not a bad place to begin. So,
yeah, no, that's for sure. That's for sure. All right. So Makar Kanin is our sleeper of the week. Rocco, we thank you for your insight as always. Very good stuff, and we'll see you in the next one. Take care, my friend.
Right on. Thanks, guys.
All right, Rocco Zappia. Guys, it's time for our Habs prospect of the week. And there were many options this week. I mean, Jacob Fowler had a heck of a week. He beat Boston University, stood on his head there. He's been fantastic, right? But this week, our Habs prospect of the week belongs to Filip Eriksson, a prospect that not many Habs fans are talking about.
No, well, I'm trying to get all of the Habs prospects in there. If they have a good week, we'll give them a nod. And this week it's, Filip Eriksson, who was a sixth round pick last year. He was with Vaxio and they loaned him out to Nebro in the Hockey Allsvenskan on January 10th. And since then, he's picked up points in all seven games, notching 3 goals and 6 assists. Wow. He leads the league in points per game, albeit in a small sample size, but 1.29 points per game is pretty impressive. The last teenager in the Allsvenskan to finish top five in points per game was Elias Pettersson. So he turned out okay. Eriksson is no Pettersson as he lacks his height, skill, skating combo, but where they do have some similarities is how they think the game. He anticipates the play very well and uses that to his advantage to steal pucks and set up teammates. He sees the ice well and is an above average playmaker. Here's a nice goal. The old drag. You know, he's got patience to, he makes up for his lack of size and speed with a high compete level. He has some similarities to Artie Lehkonen in both hockey IQ and competitiveness, I find. He works hard to get to loose pucks, whether they're in the dirty areas or in open ice. And while he lacks an elite burst, that determination enables him to forecheck effectively and cause turnovers. Now, Eriksson is more than willing to go to the front of the net and corners to absorb punishment. He will willingly take a hit to make the right play, and that's impressive for a 19-year-old playing against men. He has no elite physical skill, and he lacks the size and strength to overpower opponents, so he must get by with guile and determination. Luckily for him, he possesses both in spades. He will need to keep getting stronger and improve his skating speed if he hopes to play at the NHL level, but Eriksson is certainly shaping up to be a solid six-round pick. It's clear that the main reason he was chosen so late in the draft was because he missed much of last season, playing in only 11 junior games and 2 in the SHL. The fact that he played 29-game stint in the SHL this season for Växjö after just 11 games in Sweden's top junior league last year is impressive in itself. He obviously impressed in training camp right from start. So he was a late cut from Sweden's world junior team, but his play since that tournament ended suggests that he could have been a member of that team. He not only is playing above the junior level, he's excelling. Look for him to be an SHL regular next year. And if he starts producing at his decent clip in the next 2 years against Sweden's top pros, Montreal will sign him and get him over to the AHL. Mm-hmm. I love his all around ability. He doesn't lack skill. As you can see in these highlights, he makes some nice plays. Like there's a nice, the reverse pass there. Like his vision is above average for sure. Yeah. He's got decent puck skills. It's just the size skating combo that probably, you know, is one of the reasons why he didn't get drafted high last year and why he, in addition to him being injured for most of the year. So I think that the Canadians got themselves a real gem in the sixth round now. If he comes over to play over here and they sign him, I think he'll be at a minimum, he'll be a very good AHLer, someone that can help them win and be a positive influence on the other young kids. So you can't ask for any more than that from a sixth round pick, I don't think. And I think he's got the IQ and the determination to carve out a bottom six role if he develops properly and if the Canadians have a spot. So I like him. Nice pick in the sixth round.
That's it. I mean, considering that most sixth rounders don't even make it to the AHL, just the fact that he could actually be a difference maker. That's all you want, really. That's a great value pick there. So Filip Eriksson, well-deserving of Habs Prospect of the Week. And I think we also have to highlight another guy that could have been mentioned, David Reinbacher, who's really stepped it up recently in Kloten. They're on a five-game heater, I think, something like that. They're doing really well, and he's doing really well. So those are three Habs players that really had terrific weeks, but Filip Eriksson stands above all.
There were a few possibilities for that. Like Kapanen was good again. Pitlick is still hot. Name slips my mind now, but there's another kid that had a really good week, and it was kind of a toss-up between the two. So Maybe we feature him next week. I won't divulge who it is so that we can keep that for the next show.
There we go. Love it. Love it. So that'll about wrap it up for us. A shorter show, but I think the value and the quality remains the same. We invite you, as always, to subscribe and check out whenever we have a new video, right? And as always, go check out recruits.ca, right? You see here, you can get Canadians coverage for $249 a month. You can get draft coverage for $199 a month, and you can get both for $399 a month. Now Canadian. We're talking about great value right there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's Canadian too. So
even better.
I mean, you know, if you're a US citizen, I don't know, it's less than a Starbucks coffee anyway. So
jeez. There you go. Pretty good value. And there you can find the recruits rankings, which we'll be talking about in another show coming up here. You saw a sneak peek when we had Bob McKenzie on, but those rankings change and they will continue to change. So to stay up to date with the rankings, you got to subscribe. You got to follow along and follow along this show as well, because we're going to be talking about it. Grant, any parting remarks?
I've been busy transcribing. I spoke with an NHL scout for 90 minutes recently, and I'm just finishing up the transcribing, but I'll be posting all of his thoughts on all of the top 90 prospects. So
wow.
We've got... Jonathan Cotone's been hard at work getting the profiles, the new profiles all up there. So for the top 130 prospects, we have profiles up now, and I'm going to be adding NHL scouts quotes to all of those players that they've seen, which is the majority of them. So, I mean, for $2 a month, you can't beat the draft coverage that we're going to be providing the rest of the way.
Exactly. Exactly. Love that. Love that. All right. Thank you, Grant. Thank you, as always, for watching, guys. And we will see you in the next one.
And that's a wrap. Hope you don't miss us too much until next time. Follow the Sick Podcast, Recruits Draftcast on YouTube, Facebook, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts.